You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 170 of Well Met, Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Monday, October 22nd of 2018, and here in Kansas City, my name is J.R. Cook. I'm your host tonight, and I'm joined by the full crew. I've got both Danny and Ray with us over in somewhere in New Hampshire, I'm sure. I believe that's where it is. Yeah.
Yep.
I haven't said it in a while, so I forgot.
How long has it been?
Well, for us, it's only been a week, but I actually haven't said where you guys are from for probably a couple months.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to mix it up.
He was too ashamed of it last weekend because of the Patriots game.
It's funny because the Patriots played JR's team, Kansas City, and the Patriots won, and that made JR really sad.
Actually, it didn't, Danny. But I thought they played really good, and I was pretty happy with the game, other than the end result, but it's fine. I'm not
The Chiefs are looking really good right now.
I'm a big fan of our quarterback.
Themselves.
So, I'm a big fan of the quarterback.
It's like when you lose at Hearthstone, and you just constantly tell yourself, it's okay, I played that game really great. You know, I don't regret anything.
I mean, if anything, this is telling me how Patriots fans are.
100%. 100%. We are horrible. I'm not a Patriots fan, so it doesn't matter to me. I'm just entertained by Patriots fans.
I'm a Patriots fan.
I'm a Broncos fan, personally, but I am very entertained by my dad yelling at the TV for hours on end about everything. Like, the Patriots won this week, and my dad just wouldn't stop complaining until the game was over and they won.
Yeah, and then we almost blew it at the end.
And then my dad said, you know, they only won because they listened to me. I was like, yes. Yes.
So
you threw the TV and they listened to what you said.
Yeah, so guys, we actually don't record Hut Hut, the NFL podcast, until a few days from now. So we should be talking about Hearthstone.
We were just talking. That was okay. Back to center. Hearthstone.
Yeah, Hearthstone, Ray. So Ray, what have you been up to with the game?
So the patch hit. I played a little bit. The first day, I just didn't have that much time. And then I played a lot the second day. I played a Bitcoin Mage, Big Mage, quite a bit, and I wasn't like that happy about it, and I wasn't like that disappointed. Like, it felt very average to me. It's like they're still Shudderwalk. Druid got better since the last time that Bitcoin Mage was viable, aka they got Floop and stuff, so that matchup got much worse. So it's like it doesn't really beat Druid, and it doesn't really beat Shudderwalk Shaman, which are pretty popular. Questrogue kind of died down a bit on ladder, so that helped, but you're just not hitting good matchups enough. And sure, I can tech my mage deck with double owl, double polymorph, just like put in everything I can to stop Deathrattle Hunter. But at the end of the day, you really only make it probably 50-50 at best. So it just felt very mediocre. There just aren't really that many aggro decks besides Zoo and Odd Rogue. And honestly, I just feel like Deathrattle Hunter has just been so much more popular. Murloc Mage still is like similar to Tempo Mage, where it just kind of beats you most of the time. And Odd Paladin, even though everybody has been saying it's been getting popular, for some reason I just haven't run into it as often where I am at Legend. Like, I'm just kind of like average Legend rank, like 500 to 1,000 right now. I'm going to start the push this week, probably tomorrow. But I don't know. I just haven't been facing a whole lot of aggro. And I just think that even though Tempo Mage was kind of axed out of the metagame, Murloc Mage kind of provides a similar role. And it doesn't do it as well, but when you're playing decks like Bitcoin Mage, where like they already weren't tier one, like Murloc Mage and stuff like that, it's still just do a good job at shutting it down.
Yeah. So invest in Bitcoin Mage or not? I think that's the question everybody wants to know.
Is it better than it was last time or like before the nerfs?
When I was playing it to high ranks, it was definitely much better then, because Druid didn't have Floop. Honestly, I think that's the main reason. Like, Deathrattle Hunter was still kind of a thing, but it wasn't as popular, and it wasn't as streamlined, and I don't think they had Spider Bomb yet or anything like that, so it was like one of the older versions that played, like, the Charging Devil Sword package and stuff. But it's definitely worse now, and that has a lot to do with Druid getting Floop. You just really don't have any type of answer to that card at all. Like, before, you would be able to win that matchup by oozing their weapon, and then all they have is Maligos plus Double Moonfire Burst. And now they have, I guess they also have Dream Petal Florist too, along with Floop. So they have the potential to just full combo you. And if they don't have Dream Petal Florist, they still just have Floop, which is so much more burst damage than you can handle as any type of big mage. You really just need to get lucky and hope that your armor gain sticks onto the board. Your artificers you'd have to go double artificer, like Flame Strike or Blizzard or something, and then have them live or have one of them live, so you can just like, you just need more armor than you can realistically get to win that matchup. Without Ice Block, it's like pretty impossible. When you played Ice Block in that deck before, that's probably also why Druid was actually like favorable, is because you also had Ice Block, so it just made everything manageable when it comes down to just getting bursted in one turn.
Yeah. So Danny, sorry, Ray, were you done?
Oh yeah, I was going to say, just like, I wouldn't invest in it if you're not already invested in it, but it can be fun to just try it out, see if the metagame that you're playing in is appropriate. You're not playing too many druids. You can still see success with it.
So Danny, what have you been up to? Because I feel like, based on our conversation before the show, that Hearthstone for you is in a pretty good place right now.
Oh yeah, the Aviana nerf, it shook Wild up like down to its core, because everything was polarized around Druid and like Starliner and Togwaggle Druid, and now like the deck is like the combo version of the deck are like the standard version, which is super slow in comparison. So now all the greedy control decks and all the other OTK decks have room to play, and like people are taking Dirty Rat out of their tech slots now, so you can now start playing a lot of things. And I played to Legends like Odd Rogue, because aggro is always going to be good when people are being really greedy, but like I started playing like combo Reno Priest, like the old school, like Velen's Spawn of Shadows with Raza and Anduin. And I got pretty high in Legend. It was like top 30 at one point. But it was a ton of fun, because it's a little bit more challenging than the old times, because your hero power costs one instead of zero. But mm-hmm. you just play Emperor Thoris in, and you use like Mirage Caller, so that you can start like every hero power deals 10 damage to your opponent. So super fun deck. I had a lot of fun like refining that deck, because no one's played it in about two or three expansions. So I've been having a blast. And then like everyone else is testing out different things. There's Kingsbane Rogue is back. You have like Reno Mage. I tried that out. There's some really cool stuff with that, using Luna's Pocket Galaxy. So you brand Leyline Manipulator some of the fireballs that you generate off of Archmage Antonitis, and then you get those down to zero, and then you play them along with Maligos. And the Luna's Pocket Galaxy just speeds that up so much more quickly, and like games are much more I want to say the games have changed completely. There are a ton of new decks that are being tested around, and we'll see what sticks, but this is kind of like a brand new expansion. Wow. Just in general,
that's a pretty big change then.
Yeah, because I mean Druid was just strong in general even before we had Psych Melon. Like Aviana Kun was still one of the faster ways to combo, because you can just draw through your deck as Druid. But like now when you have to go in and either play Emperor Thorsen on your Aviana or like innervate it out to do your combo, it's just not worth it anymore. you see a ton of Jade Druids now, so
that,
it's turned more into a control. But I mean, you have Geist, so if you're trying to go over the top and be like really controlling, you can account for that.
Bah, Jade Druid. I remember those days.
I don't think it's as oppressive and wild as it was.
Probably not.
Standard.
Probably not.
Nah.
But still.
And Necro is just so much better now, because one of the things that Jade Druid was able to do in Standard was, like, it was able to just get a Ironwood Golem out off of Oaken Summons, and then, like, you weren't able to get back on board or, like, fight through that, whereas, like, you have the, in Odd Rogue, you have the small, the, what is it, the one mana pirate that gives you plus one attack on your weapon. And that's super strong. And then you just play a pirate core in the in your Odd Rogue. You're running patches, boys. Patches is still run.
Wow.
Maybe. Well, you have ship's cannon, right? And stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not playing that in Odd Rogue, right?
Yeah. Well, you have like, do you have any other, like what pirate cards do you have in Odd Rogue?
You have Shady Dealer, the 3-mana 4/3 that gains +1/+1 if you have a pirate. So 3-mana 5/4. That's pretty much the only one that you don't have in Standard besides patches. But oh, you have the other one I mentioned, whatever the 1-mana weapon buff dude is. But yeah, it's more of a critical mass of pirates, so Odd Rogue is just a ton more aggressive. And then Even Shaman's crazy because you have Thing from Below and you have Flame Wreath Faceless and Totem Golem. Like, you have a ton of really, really strong cards.
So yeah,
that's cool. So it sounds like Wild definitely benefited a ton from the Aviana nerfs,
which is funny
well,
because
it definitely changed things up. I do have a soft spot for like how Togwaggle Druid used to play. That was one of my favorite decks because swapping your deck with your opponent, it was fairly skill testing because you would go through and if you're playing something like an Even Shaman, like you would have to manage clearing your opponent's board and then swapping at the right time. But as soon as Psych Melon was printed, it just turned it into, oh yeah, I'm going to combo turn 7 after I've ramped everything up. And it just doesn't matter because your opponent can't get a big enough board by that point.
Yeah.
But I liked it beforehand with, I would have preferred a, just if they got rid of Psych Melon, because then Druid still has combo capabilities. But if you're waiting around with like Twig of the World Tree and Malagos now, like that's probably the strongest version of combo Druid at this point. And like that's not, it pales in comparison to what some of the other stuff you can do, like Exodia Mage or even Reno Priest or the Reno Mage with the OTK.
It's crazy to me that a change of one card can do so much to, I don't know if it did so much, but it sounds like at the very least all the Wild people are trying out different things or going back to other things that were previously existing, and it's just not as oppressive. Like that one chain seems like it just made a huge difference for the whole Wild format in general.
Well, I think that it really showcases how polarizing the Star Aligner Druid was. It got to the point where if you weren't able to either out aggro them or like survive their combo somehow with Dirty Rat or like being a Odd Warrior and just armor out of range like infinitely, like you couldn't play any control decks.
Yeah, it's definitely goes to show how powerful that was and how degenerate, I guess, Juicy Psych Melon made that deck, which it's like looking at the contrast of they changed two cards in Standard and it feels like it did very little, which is kind of like the opposite of what you guys got in Wild on in some sense, right?
Sure, but with the two cards, Giggly Inventor and Mana Worm, I mean, I don't think that those two cards were core to any deck that was super polarizing, right? Like, you can still get away with playing Odd Rogue, and I'm assuming that when we get to tournament season, that, like, people are still going to bring, I'm not Odd Rogue, Quest Rogue. Yeah, I'm assuming that deck is still going to be brought in as a counter control deck. And I'm assuming that like you still have a replacement with Murloc Mage. So it doesn't really kill those two archetypes. It just lessens them a little bit. Whereas this completely like blew that deck out of the sky. It blew Druid. Like you can no longer consider it a combo class now.
Right. I mean, the Secret Mage deck did die, but Murloc Mage, like you said, kind of fills the same role in the metagame that Secret Mage filled. It's just a lot more glass cannon than Secret Mage was. Like, if you lose the early game, like if you just get blown out in the early game and or you get a bad start, you don't really come back from it as easily as you do with Secret Mage. Like, you just kind of lose.
Yeah, like, Secret Mage was much more robust. You were able to, like you said, come back, make your comebacks.
Yeah, and you had Arcane Anomaly plus Shooting Star to kind of fight against other aggro decks. Murloc Mage just goes 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, do I win? Or can I burn you out with fireballs? If not, then the game's just over. Like, it is very glass cannon. But against control decks or, like, slower mid-rangey decks, it feels the same in the meta of just being a mage deck that just kind of crushes slower decks that don't interact that well with the early game that they can put out.
I also feel like the standard meta is not going to change significantly until Un'Goro, Frozen Throne, and Kobold and Catacombs gets rotated out. I think those three sets were some of the most powerful sets they made in the game, and I think the game's going to change quite a bit in the meta. At least it's going to change quite a bit when those get rotated out here in March or April.
I agree. And I can definitely say that I am excited again for Hearthstone. Not necessarily for this specific metagame, but the fact that they did make changes, which I, as I mentioned last, or we talked about it last week, how you said the week before, I didn't think they would make changes. Then they announced the changes, and now the changes are happening. There are people experimenting, even though the meta didn't change that much. At least they know that they have to do something, right? That's the way that I see it, is that they kind of know.
And I'm wondering, I want to get into this, I want to continue this conversation a little bit on when we get into the news, because BlizzCon's coming up, and I have some questions for you guys on that. You want to hop over in the news?
Yeah, sure.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
Yeah, so as I was saying, BlizzCon is coming up. It's in, what, 10 days now, something like that. I leave on Sunday of this week, so there won't be a show, I think, this week or next week.
Anyway, the
next 2 weeks. Yeah. We might try to do a show at BlizzCon. I'm waiting to see what happens with that. So if you don't hear from us for a couple weeks, that's probably why. So just getting that out of the way. But the thing about BlizzCon that I wanted to bring up is I wanted to ask you guys for some predictions. And this kind of goes in the conversation we were just having. So we were talking about how, the changes that they made, what kind of changes we're going to see in the future. Do you guys think that this BlizzCon, we might start hearing about some potential changes they make next year?
Oh, 100%. I actually... Like, this is public information as of, like, 40-something minutes ago.
Oh, I haven't been around in the last 40 minutes to pay attention. So what's the big news that you have?
Well, it's not, like, news that Blizzard announced. It's just kind of something you can infer through being the Twitter investigator that I am. That sounds ridiculous, but
Racy,
I
see Twitter investigator.
I think there's literally some validity to it, because Ixar hinted at the nerfs last time with the way that he talked on Twitter. Again, one of the team owners for top four on the team standings, Insom, he was trying to get in contact with Hearthstone Esports because they haven't updated any information about the team standings. And generally around this time of the year is when people start to renew contracts, because the way that Hearthstone used to work was Worlds was always at BlizzCon. So generally player contracts would get renewed after BlizzCon, because that's around when Worlds is. So depending on how long players signed to their team for, like if they signed before it changed, you know what I mean? Like, I've been on Pandit Global for like 2 years now. So when I made my contract, it was... And it would end after BlizzCon, because that's when the new season would start. So they're like, team owners are trying to figure out like what is going on. Like, my players want to know if they're going to get re-signed or not, and I have no information on whether to do that. And he tweeted out the response that Blizzard gave him, the only response that Hearthstone Esports and Blizzard was, thank you for reaching out. We have some exciting stuff in the works for Hearthstone Esports in 2019. We will be making an announcement prior to the start of the new season, and then parentheses says December 1st. But for now, we aren't ready to discuss any specifics. Sit tight, and we hope to share many more details soon. So they're going to announce it prior to December 1st, which makes me think they're going to announce everything for the next year on BlizzCon Day, like on during BlizzCon. They said they're going to announce it before December 1st. That is the only logical time I would imagine that just makes perfect sense, right? Like, that is the time to do an announcement like that, in my opinion.
So do you think that has to do with just the esports landscape or more than that? Because I was talking about, like, the game itself.
Oh, I think it has to do with both. Because I think that they kind of coincide, because a lot of players are getting other options, especially the streamers. In particular, like people like Dog, Disguised Toast, they've been doing stuff with other games, and I feel like Hearthstone wants to keep those big influencers, and I feel like BlizzCon is a perfect place to announce not only the esports side of things that they've been keeping under wraps for however long, but I think they also would benefit from announcing pretty much anything huge during BlizzCon. Because the week after, or I think it's like 2 weeks after, is when Artifact releases. So it's kind of funny in that sense that, like, I don't know if the Artifact people planned to do this, to release the game around BlizzCon. But I don't know. I feel like it makes a lot of sense to make their game as appealing as possible when the other options are doing everything in their power to beat the competition, which is Hearthstone.
And here's what I think. I don't think they'll announce the esports stuff at BlizzCon. That doesn't seem like something they've done in the past, because maybe they'll announce on the side, but I'm not sure. Because when they get up on the stage and they talk about, you know, the main stage and the opening ceremonies, I don't feel like that's going to be a bullet point. I feel like they're going to show off the new expansion, and maybe talk about, and then maybe have a panel talking about, like, upcoming changes. I don't know if a panel is going to be about esports. Like, I feel like that's a document or a blog post that gets released later, sometime after BlizzCon.
There was one thing that they did mention in that blog post a while back about the state of Hearthstone, about how they're considering rotating a significant amount of cards to the Hall of Fame. So I wouldn't be surprised if something gets swapped up with the the Evergreen set. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the time where they come in and they're like, hey, we got something for you.
That's what I'm wondering, because I feel like that is the number one thing that this game needs, is a rotating Evergreen set. And I feel like if any time that they were to announce or just show something off like that, I feel like BlizzCon would be it.
Maybe the only reason why I think that any type of esports thing at all would happen is just because HGG is, the finals are at BlizzCon, which is esports related. So I feel
I just don't feel like BlizzCon, like, they announce that kind of stuff in, like, any of their panels or anything like that. It always feels like a blog post, because it's not, I mean, esports is flashy in the sense that you're watching, you know, the esports stuff happen. But talking about esports doesn't seem like something that really happens on that stage.
You guys ready to get your tinfoil hats on?
Sure.
Oh, boy.
So there was something that happened earlier this week. I actually just added it to our show notes because I just remembered.
I wanted to talk about this and forgot.
Yeah. So Mike Lowe, who is he's essentially the commissioner of what used to be called the United Hearthstone League. It was a fairly popular league with a bunch of like podcasters, and they would get together and play in, like, a league format. And one of the things that happened this week was Blizzard PR reached out to him and said, hey, you can't do anything under the title of league. We do not want to have, essentially what they said to him was that there was a bunch of licensing, and essentially he got a do not, like a cease and desist type thing about his league. So the thought that I have is that potentially maybe Blizzard's trying to start something up, like officially about a league coming up, and they don't want to have the brand like United Hearthstone League to confuse people later on when they're doing this. So I think that there's a very high chance that there's some sort of league that Blizzard's trying to put together. And like the term league, like they were incredibly heavy on that. Like, I mean, there are other tournaments and everything, and they're fine with that. I actually found out that you're supposed to go and get licenses, mm-hmm. and there's like a form that you can fill out to do that for any tournament that you do. But I mean, there's been so many underground tournaments that I've been in that have never gotten any official approval that I never knew that that was a thing. This whole thing brought that to light for me, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's some sort of league that comes out of, if they're going to go and announce anything about esports in the future, that would be something that would be coming out soon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting because this is the first time that this has been a rule that Hearthstone has actually had for a while. But the problem is this is the first time that I've seen them actually enforce it.
Hmm. I think it's a combination of this particular league. I've played in like all these leagues at some point, THL, UHL. They're all very fun and really good for casual players just because the competition isn't, it's not like there's no prizes really. It's just for fun. So everybody's just really genuinely friendly and stuff. But I think that they were just so under the radar that Blizzard just didn't know they existed. Like, I don't think they're targeting this particular tournament because of like some like vindictive reason or something. I think they just didn't know it existed, and then they were aware of it and they were like, hey, we're doing, I don't know if this is true, if they're gonna do a league type thing, but they're probably like, oh hey, we're gonna do a league and we don't want anything to come up about this league when people go to Google Hearthstone League or something like that. Like, if people are gonna go search for like Hearthstone League, we want our stuff to come up and not this thing that we've never heard of before until now. Because there are probably other Hearthstone leagues that are going to continue to run, but are just too small to have Blizzard even notice. Just because, I mean, that's just
and it
always going to be a thing.
And it could also be, like, I don't know, does this league have any money involved in it?
It does not, no.
No, there's no prizes.
So there's no prizes, no... No way he's not getting money for running it or anything like that.
No, it's interesting. When I played in it, it was just completely like community run. It's still run through like Facebook. It's not run through like Smash GG or Battlefy or anything like that. It's run through like a Facebook page. You just say, hey, I just want to play some Hearthstone. And then you get into the league and then you play a game every week. And then that's pretty much what it is.
Basically, all he has to do is like change the name of it, right?
Yeah. No, so he's not. No. He's not allowed to do the league format like once a week thing. He can only do tournaments, which is completely different. Like a league is like you get your opponent, you get in contact with them, and you play during the week. Now he's only allowed to run tournaments, which is like an actual time commitment. Like I could do THL. Or UHL, because it was literally one match per week. Like, that's a half hour or something. A tournament, like, if they are only allowed to run tournaments now, I don't know. Like, a tournament is a huge time commitment. And for no prizes, it's just, like, it just feels bad playing it. Like, it doesn't feel bad playing a fun match once a week. But, like it's just for fun. Like, it's not that time. It's not that time consuming. It's just a good time. But like a tournament, if there's a lot of people in it and then you win nothing, it's just like, what's the point?
I mean, you can always circumvent that by saying, hey, we're doing this tournament. This is which spans over 8 weeks and we have a really large round robin phase.
So do you think by any chance,
that's pushing the rules, but that's what I would do.
do you think by any chance that the Overwatch League has been doing good enough that they're looking at expanding it to their other games?
The Overwatch League has not been doing good.
Well, they just expanded to a bunch of teams.
There's a lot of investors in the Overwatch League, but I don't know the right words, but I don't know. Maybe they do want to do that for Hearthstone. something like that is ideal, like a Trinity League for Hearthstone. That would be really cool. I would love to see that. I don't know. It'd be really weird.
Isn't it like TESPA is though? TESPA is kind of a league.
Right, but they probably have the licensing and everything else that they need.
That's true.
TESPA's owned by Blizzard.
Yeah, that and TESPA's owned by Blizzard.
So I would assume that that's how that works.
I mean, and there's other leagues out there, and they probably have the correct licensing that they need.
Or they're small enough that they're under the radar.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. If they did something like Overwatch, though, it's like, are they going to make teams enforce a salary rule and all that stuff for Hearthstone? That's like the thing I'd be curious about. I mean, like,
Hearthstone is the biggest thing that, like, teams are great, but most of the time you're following personalities, right? Where it's great to have a bunch of personalities on a team, but it's not like a team esport. It's not something where it's like you play with your teammates. You essentially play by yourself, and then you and your teammates are like combine your scores together.
Yeah, yeah. That's not the aspect I'm interested in. It's more of like the unionization part of it. Like the way that Overwatch League or LCS or whatever works is like the players get paid a minimum salary.
Yep. And they get health care and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, like it's an actual like job. Whereas like being a Hearthstone player on a team doesn't actually mean anything. Even if it's Tempo Storm and you're the best in the world, like Muzzy or Saiyan or whatever, they're still not like getting they're getting a salary or whatever, but like it's not regulated by Blizzard in any way.
Yeah.
Whereas with the Overwatch League, with Riot and stuff, like it's all regulated.
I have a feeling that what happened here was he was probably in contact with Blizzard about something, like someone in PR, someone in community, something like that. It got relayed, which made it higher up to Blizzard Legal, and that put it on their radar. And then they had to call him back because their bosses told him to, and it had to be like, look, you got to change your name. I bet that's what happened. I don't think it's anything that Blizzard's planning on doing anytime soon.
That's just my thoughts.
UHL have been around for a while, though. So,
right,
yeah, that's what
do you think it's just that they got noticed now?
Just because they've been around for a while, maybe doesn't mean that someone at Blizzard
knew about it.
I mean, someone at Blizzard may have known about it, but maybe not the right person at Blizzard knew about it.
That's fair. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, you know, there's things that employees that aren't higher-ups or something like that would know, that maybe it gets relayed at some point, and then once a higher-up or someone in legal learns about it, they're like, wait, you can't do that. You need to go tell that guy he can't do that. And then that person, because they're the employee, has to be like, I'm sorry, you've got to, you know, get rid of this, because that's what legal told us.
Mm. Well, I just think they have a lot of things in the works as well. I think there's
I think they're just protecting their name to a certain degree.
Oh, no, 100%.
I mean, there's a reason why they have these licensing things in there to begin with. I mean, this isn't something new.
Yeah, no, for sure. I was just saying there's like a lot of like moving around and like hiring of new people and all that stuff with all the people who left and the new people who are coming on board, even people that like we don't know of, like behind the scene people. So there's probably also just new people in there, so there's just like fresh eyes that are like going over these types of things and probably codded or something like that.
Yep.
And it's just a combination of things, and honestly it's unfortunate that it's like a for fun thing has to stop or get changed in any way, but in my head I want to take it as a sign as like Blizzard's gonna do their own league and
just like they're gonna do tournament mode.
Oh, man.
Wouldn't it be funny if they did a league instead of tournament mode?
Yeah, that's man. Oh, man, I wanted to talk about the tournament mode stuff. Dang, I forgot about that. There's a really good article about it last week or so.
Was it the one where they like said it didn't live up to the community's expectations or whatever?
Yeah, that's basically what it came down to. I think it was GamesBeat. It was actually written by a listener of our show. He got to interview the creative director for Hearthstone, Ben Thompson. I'm trying to remember all the details here because I don't have it up on my screen. But basically it came down to the decision of tournament mode wasn't because of they were going to have problems with it, that the technology wasn't going to work correctly, that it was going to lag or anything like that. It basically came down to after they announced it, the community and what they were working on was vastly different, they found out, than what the community wanted. And because of that, they're like, we just got to shut this down, because if we release this, the community is going to be pissed.
That's such
And everything was like, wow, how did you guys not realize what the community wanted in tournament mode when we've been telling you for years now? And then when you go and do it, you didn't even do it correctly. Have you even been listening all this time? But now you're saying you're listening, and that's why you shut it down.
Well, you got to think, too, that they also, they're not, I don't think that when they make tournament mode, they're just going to cater to the 1% of Hearthstone players who are interested in it, right? You're making a brand new game mode, and similarly, like Tavern Brawl, I think that they were initially just trying to make it for the general audience, which is vastly different than what we want. Yeah. Like, the Tavern Brawl, you have the occasional, like, pre-built deck, and some players like those decks a lot more because they don't have a big collection. They don't get to play some of the cards that get played. Like, I think the most played Tavern Brawl Blizzard released this a while back was, like, the Crossroads one, where you would have the random cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the perception that we all have is this is how we would want tournament mode. Blizzard could make... So I don't think they designed it for the people who were like, we want tournament mode. They wanted to make a mode for everyone in general.
But here,
I think that could definitely lead them astride.
But here's the problem with that, though. Here's the problem with them doing that, is the casual players weren't the ones asking for tournament mode.
Yeah, I don't know. Correct. I think that to me, it's just a cop-out, honestly. Like, to be perfectly blunt, like, not meeting community expectations is your own fault. If, like, don't announce something if you're not ready to do it. Like, the community expectations never changed between when you announced you were going to make the announcement on tournament mode till now. Like, nothing has changed. Has changed in the last 2 or 3 years or however long it's been. And even something bare bones, or even just like a LAN mode like other games have. Mode.
Here's the thing, though, Ray, is if they hadn't announced tournament mode and what they were planning on doing with tournament mode, and they just released it, would that really have been better? Because they would have created a mode that nobody would have wanted.
What do you mean? No. I'm saying, like, they could have just made a LAN, like, not, like, kind of like the Fireside Tavern Brawls are, but for tournament organizers.
Sure.
So.
Sure, but that's not what they were doing.
Right. I'm saying, like, they could have at least done, like, anything to help out the people who are asking for it, which are people playing in tournaments.
Right, but they had an idea of what they wanted to do with tournament mode. And if they hadn't announced it and said what they were planning on doing, and they just released it when they wanted to, it wouldn't have met our expectations at all, because they wouldn't have gotten that feedback. Well, they wouldn't have gotten that feedback. Like, would you have rather had a terrible, terrible tournament mode that they released, or would you have rather had no tournament mode?
Depends on how bad it is, right? If you can take something that is really crappy, and, like, if the skeleton of it works and you can manipulate it to be good, then I'd be fine with that. It depends on how bad it is.
I'm looking
at something where it's just not playable, then I agree with you on this point.
I guess what I'm, like, confused about is, like, how can it be bad if it does what, like, if it just literally was so buggy that it didn't work, then obviously no.
I'm talking about bad in the sense that it's not what people wanted.
Well, yeah, you could do something.
If I could run a tournament on it, I wouldn't care.
But that's not what were doing.
What about something where it's like, oh, now you queue up. Consider it like another version of a ladder where you queue up and you get paired up with seven other people, and you play a tournament just there. And that's what they were thinking about for tournament mode.
Yeah.
Then it's just another arena.
Right. Correct. But that's that's something that they could call tournament mode and release. And we would have been pissed if that happened.
Yep.
Right? Like, if they said, hey, we released tournament mode, everyone, everyone's expectations would have been just shot out of the air.
I mean, my biggest beef is, let's look at spectator mode. And what they did with spectator mode is they made it buggy. They made it the cards upside down, And then they're like, you know, we're just going to release this now, and then we'll update it later. Well, guess what? They never touched it since.
I mean, it's functional. It's not, you can get away with that. Like, it's the minimal viable product, right?
It is.
That's what it is.
But if you want to run, like, any kind of a tournament, like production, which was what Spectator Mode was supposed to be, you still have to have two computers and set it up, you know, to spectate both people. And it's just the Spectator Mode is completely worthless in that case. The only case it's good is if you want to go watch your two friends play and look at someone's upside down cards.
Well, I don't know. I think Spectator Mode is good for, like, co-oping and just seeing what people are playing. Like, I personally use Spectator Mode all the time just to check up on people, see, like, or just watch somebody who's high legend on my friends list, like, see what they're playing, see how they're playing the deck. Like, I think it is good for what it is. Like, it's not useless to me personally. Like, I think it is a good feature. I just think it could be done better. Yeah, and they could update it.
Yeah, I just, I wasn't happy when they came out with the whole upside down card thing. And I'm like, and then they're like, oh, we'll fix it sometime else. 5 years later, it hasn't been touched.
They just never went back.
It doesn't seem, would you prefer them to, like, release a good expansion? Like, it's the order of priorities, though. It's like,
I mean, they're always going to release an expansion.
High, that's not super high on my priority list to get something changed so I can see the cards.
Like, not at this point.
That falls into such a niche, like a position. There's only the only people who really want that are like specifically tournament organizers. People who are organizing a tournament for production.
I agree with you. Not at this point. It's not. 4 or 5 years ago, when we were trying to figure out how to do production with Hearthstone, it was a pretty big deal. And I feel like if they had gone down that path 4 or 5 years ago with Spectator Mode, it would have led to other things like modes that we could have used for production and esports and et cetera. But that was that has never been a priority.
Mm. I mean, even just announcing tournaments, like when I, like whenever there's a Shadowverse tournament going on, like this weekend, there was a big Shadowverse tournament. And I even got like a push notification on my phone and like, if I just open the notification, it brings me to the Twitch stream. Like, Hearthstone doesn't even do the basic stuff, like, announce their tournaments and, like, put them in the client for the most part, right? Like, you can't even know as a casual player, especially if you're on mobile, that there are Hearthstone tournaments that even exist in general. Like, if Hearthstone is popular because it's such a good mobile game, they're not utilizing that to increase their,
I think what it comes down to me is what is a priority on the Hearthstone team. And I know that they release a new expansion every 4 months. And with that new expansion they release, they have a team that does some kind of single player content with it. Beyond that, though, what is the priority in Hearthstone?
I think that is the priority, I guess, is to just keep printing out packs, which is like printing out money. I don't know. Because I feel like there are
It's not improving the mobile application because that thing doesn't run very well. It's not improving the desktop application because that thing doesn't run very well.
This actually blows my mind that like for the last how long has it been since the last like patch where every single time somebody loses or something, you get a notification that says they're ranked 25 in wild. Literally after anybody like wins a game or loses a game, it pops up and says this person just reached rank 25 in wild.
That was when the rank 60 thing came out for new players. That was at the start of this season. And for us it always says this person is at legend in wild.
Like literally annoying. Like I'll be streaming.
It's funny too. Like if you're playing against someone, this happens to me all the time because I run into someone that I have on my friends list on the wild ladder. I'll play against them, I'll beat them, and then I'll get the notification that they hit Legend in Wild. It's hilarious.
It's not as funny for, like, me who's just, like, streaming or something, and then every second, like, in that area, like, I just want to cover up that area of the map, or whatever you want to call it, of the screen, just because it's just nonstop, just like, bing, 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 hit Legend. Hit legend rank from 25 and wild. Sometimes those notifications are like before they were like kind of cool, like, oh, this person opened up a golden blah blah blah, or this person just reached legend or whatever it is. It's like sometimes those are kind of cool to see, but now it's just like you want to turn them off, which I think you can actually do. I don't actually know, though. Can you turn them off?
It's probably a setting in the Battle.net client.
Because you can't do it from mobile, because I checked from mobile, because I really only play on my iPad unless I'm streaming, and you can't turn it off on the iPad.
Do you get the thing when if you have people like queued up to as a friend request, do you just get that stream of like 10 people sent your friend request, boom, 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 every time you start the app up?
Yeah,
Yes, but for me, I can't even delete the friend requests. Like half the time, like I can only delete like one or two at a time because I have like 200 friend requests or something like that, and
yeah, somewhere around there as well.
It literally just like my app will freeze and then crash if I try to delete them. Like if I try to like rapidly delete people, it'll just freeze and then it'll just crash, and I'll be like, well, I guess I'll try to delete them tomorrow, even though I don't actually care anymore. It's just like, what's the point? I'm just wasting my time at that point. But it's kind of frustrating. There's no search. Like, there's no search through friend requests. So, like, if I'm playing in a tournament and I add somebody and they don't add me back from me adding them, and then I'll have to, like, go through and add them, they'll be like, oh, can you just add me? And I'll be like, like, you have to... It's actually just, like... This is really, like, first world problems, and I don't even know why I'm, like, mentioning it, but it's, like, just little things like that are just, like, how have they not fixed it yet?
Yeah.
It's just so weird to me because they're just so like the rank 25 wild bug.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like
I wouldn't be surprised if they fixed that. They wait until the ladder reset to do something on that. So I wouldn't give up all hope. Like it's only been a month. Now I say that fairly sarcastically. It's only been a month, but I wouldn't be surprised if they push something out on the next ladder change. Because yeah, I bet something happened when. I bet it had to do when they started the rank 60, when they added the new player ranks.
And when they did that, there were literally people that lost, like, whole, like, 5 stars for every loss. Like, I don't know, there are still so many issues when they rolled that out. I was like, really? Like, you guys didn't learn from the last one? Like, do you do test runs or anything like that? Like, is that a thing that coding people do? Like, do they do
one of the things that they could run into is just scale. Like, imagine if that's a 1 in 1,000 type thing, but like you can test it 1,000 times and not get it. But then when you have 1,000,000 people play their first game, it's going to happen to like 100 people.
Yep.
I guess I don't really understand how that works. I just assume that like you can test it with 1,000,000 people. There, you know,
maybe they could.
But we
don't want to go into software design here.
Because there can be something where it's like, well, this is such a small percentage that this happens to. We don't want it to hold up our release, and we'll just deal with it.
Because that
is a thing that happens. It's the whole cause. You know, is this, you know, by holding this up, is it gonna cause bigger problems for us holding it up than to release it now with this small issue? When we'll just deal with the small issue after we release it. And sometimes they just don't catch it, because that happens too. There's a reason why I worked all weekend, so, you know. But yeah, so yeah, BlizzCon's coming up. That's how this whole conversation started.
That was a good tangent, though.
Yeah. The next thing I wanted to talk about was, we got the Hollow's End event happening right now. You can get a bundle where you get the new Annoyatron hero and 20 Witchwood packs for $19.99. That ends on Halloween, so you've got about a week left of getting that if you haven't yet. In fact, I'm going to go buy it after the show because I had forgotten to do it. And we had the dual class arena that's happening in the Gold Rush Challenge. Did you guys want to talk about that?
I don't know if you know that much about it or not, Danny. I don't know if you've been keeping up with it at all.
So I've been following it a little bit. I work in the Tempo Storm YouTube channel, and we actually just recently got Tachi, who's one of the top arena players, and he's been writing scripts for us. So he went into a little bit of detail and gave us some details on what's going on with that, on what was good last time around. But specifically for the dual class arena, one of the things that people have been noting is that there's a little bit more neutral minions than there was in the past. So I think like the percentages are different, which makes it have a different feel than it does last time. There was more like ridiculous spell things that happened, whereas like Warlock Druid, where you'd go Blood Bloom UI turn two, and that's not as common. But still, I mean, I played a couple of rounds with this, and it's a ton of fun when you have interactions between different class cards. So that was super fun. I had a couple arena runs that I did. I normally never play arena, but it was a ton of fun.
Yeah. So the Gold Rush Challenge is actually finishing up today. And the person who won was named Jaldaboth. I'm not really sure who that is. And I don't know if they're American or anything. But I know Educated Collins came in second. He's a streamer for F2K, and then it's still going on, I think, for like the last few placements. Jackie Chan was in the running, and aside from Jackie Chan, they're just people I haven't heard of.
Yeah, there was a spreadsheet that I was looking at earlier this morning with the list of them and like who they were, like their nationalities and all that stuff. But these guys were playing, I'm not sure if you mentioned what the challenge was, but it was the first person to get 5,000 gold on a new account for just playing arena. Mm. And like that was a significant amount of time. I think it took the guy over 100 hours of play to get there. Yeah.
Oh, it was actually Tarkam TV. It looks like he's Swedish. I think that's the flag. It's like red with like a white cross, sort of. That's Swedish, I think.
DNK, Denmark.
Oh, that's Denmark. Oh, man, I just triggered, like, some amount of people that are listening to this 100%. Like, oh, man. But, yeah, so Tarkam TV, he won. He won $15,000. Educated Collins got second. And then I think there's just still people fighting for the last spots. But it started last Tuesday or Wednesday. So it took about a week of, like, consistently long days of playing. So that seemed like an intense challenge. I don't know, that's like so long, because you also have to maintain a very high win rate, because it's based off of getting to 5,000 gold, which is like, if you get a 12-0, you're still only netting like maybe 500 gold at most, and that's based off of RNG
right
as well, because you could just get a golden card instead of X amount of gold.
Yep.
Which is really weird, because just imagine like the race at the end where you just hit like 5 gold cards in a row instead of gold bags, and you just lose like $10,000 because of that.
You just wasted 100 hours of your life.
Oh, man. I wanted to do it, but then I was like, man, do I really want to cancel all my plans for Friday and Saturday and Sunday and do nothing the whole week or longer, depending, just playing arena? And you have to stream it the whole time, which is honestly even if you're not talking, I just think the fact that you have to like have your stream on is I think that takes away energy, in my opinion. Like, you have to be at your computer. Like, I can't just be like going like walking around and playing Hearthstone on my iPad like I do a lot of the time. Like, I'll literally just be like walking around the house.
So you didn't do the thing with the iPad where you're just streaming, you playing the iPad and eating Cheetos?
I wanted to, and then I said to myself, what's the point if I can't actually finish this out? Like, there's no way.
So you're too lazy to be lazy.
I was too lazy to even attempt being lazy.
Yeah.
That is how lazy I am.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how long it was going to take, because, I mean, I didn't really grasp how, like, the prize that you get if you go 12-0. I thought this was going to be, like, a day or two, kind of like the rat race, right? Where you would maybe take a day or a day and a half, and you'd play up from rank 16 to legend before the ladder was changed. Like, I thought that's what this was going to be like, but this was a lot more extensive. And I was looking at the unofficial leaderboard that they have up on Reddit, and like two or three of these guys had like 8 people come on and like co-run with them. I thought that was pretty cool.
The thing about the whole process of it is that it's honestly very easy to cheat, which, I don't know, that sounds bad, and I'm obviously not, like, saying anybody did that, but it, like, you don't have to have your webcam on. You don't have to have a mic on. You just have to be streaming. It would be very, very easy for me to just turn on my stream, play for 5 hours, and then have somebody else log into my account and start streaming and just play if there's no webcam or mic. I don't know. Even if it's like, even if they can check IPs, like if we really wanted to, like Danny could probably just log in from, like I could just give him my laptop. Like, I don't know.
Or we could make a base in Ray's house and just get a bunch of pros and just take shifts.
Actually, though, like we could have done that. And I don't know, maybe I'm too pessimistic, but I feel like there needed to be more rules. And maybe a shorter goal.
Yeah.
Well, I think that there were rules. They do need to be verified. Well, that's one of the things that it says on this Reddit post right now. But there's like there's a whole like Twitch rule set that they have. So I'm assuming that someone's going to go through and try to verify some of this stuff. But it would be hard to verify a lot of it.
I mean, it's impossible to verify anything except
what. I think Ray cut out.
I think that the person, the people who have won, I looked at some of their stuff and they were like face camming it.
Oh yeah. No, the person who won was like legitimate. I just think it's like if people wanted to, it'd be very easy to manipulate the system, I guess. I don't know. I'm kind of like just that person. Like one of my dreams, this is gonna sound really weird, that I want to do one day is to go into Pokemon, like a Pokemon tournament, and just cheat and win, and then post an article about how I cheated to win, even though I would get banned. Like I just want to prove how ignorant people are when it comes to defending their favorite players.
So I mean, they have a job like that in businesses, like security consultants who will go through and then they'll try to specifically hack your system, and like there are jobs that do that in the real world. So yep. I wouldn't be surprised if you could do something like that. I mean, obviously if you would get banned from Pokemon forever if you just did it the way you did it there, but I wouldn't be surprised if you can say, hey, if we could maybe do this and like not count my winnings or whatever, but I'll go through, win this, I'll cheat and not get caught. I bet you could pull something like that off if you talk with them beforehand.
I mean, there's there's no way they would like that would never like fly with a company like Pokemon or even Blizzard. Like, I don't think there's any way that I could go into like a dream hack, record myself cheating, and then like winning, and then
that would be a bad PR.
Yeah, there's just like no way in the world that would be like an okay thing to do. But the only reason why I say that stuff is because like I think that the rules of everything can improve dramatically from where they are right now.
So,
and it's something that I hope for in the future, that they just like get better rules for everything.
Right. So speaking of rules and cheating and all of this stuff, Django got disqualified from the HGG for gambling on his matches.
Yeah. It's funny because he's part of Run and Gun Esports, who the owner is the one that posted that thing about Blizzard that I mentioned earlier, about how they didn't release information for teams at all or anything like that. I wonder if Django is going to get re-signed now. Dude, what if that was the case? What if they were like, what if Itzom was just like, hey, yo, there's this guy, like we picked him up, he was doing really well, then he cheated or something, well, and like admitted to it. Well, like,
yeah,
so, I kind of want to re-sign him, but I'm not sure about next year. What's going on?
So let's go ahead and give the full story out here on this. Is Django had found a gambling website that you can gamble on esports matches. Some of his friends had told him about it. And he was like, hey, I'm going to go check it out. And he saw that he could bet on his HGG matches. So he bet on Bulgaria, which is the team he was on. I think that's right. He's on Bulgaria, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he bet on his team. He spent, I think it was like $25 that he bet. Nothing major. Didn't think anything of it. His team won. He won a little bit of money. Cool. Told some friends about it, and they're like, you do know that that's against the rules, right? He's like, oh, I should go tell Blizzard about this because this could really screw me over if anybody found out. And he went and told Blizzard, and Blizzard, instead of giving him a 6 to 12 month ban, which is what they would do if caught gambling like this, They just disqualified him from the HGG, and he can't win any prizes from it.
Yeah. I think that is very noble. Like, even though that sounds corny, maybe, but, like, I think that is super honest.
And respectable.
Respectable, yeah. Like, that makes me think, like, that makes me trust him more.
Yeah, even though it sounded like it was an honest mistake. And then instead of just covering it up and not saying anything and possibly winning money, he knew that if he'd gotten caught, it would have been a way bigger deal. So he just went to Blizzard and was like, hey, look, this is what happened. It was an honest mistake. You know, I accept anything that you guys throw my way at this. And Blizzard was pretty lenient on it for him doing that.
I think that they handled it appropriately, honestly. If he bet like $100,000 or something, like maybe, yeah, okay, that's a little bit too lenient. But he bet like $25. It's right. An irrelevant amount of money. It's clearly just like he found this site or whatever it is, and he's like, oh, I want to try this just for fun. Because if you're doing it maliciously, there is no way you're just betting $25.
Right.
In my opinion. Like,
unless you don't think you're going to win.
Okay, you're also not telling Blizzard if you're doing it maliciously.
Right.
So.
Exactly.
Like, yeah,
do
I think
that how they handled it was of his own volition that he came forward? Or do you think that, I mean, I might be putting a little bit of rain on the positivity of this, but do you think that someone came up to him and said, look, if you don't report this to Blizzard yourself, we will?
I don't think it was that, but I do think the fact that he told people about it and then they're like, hey, you know, that's against the rules, right? Probably made him realize I need to go say something about this because now other people know, and I didn't realize this was against the rules, and this could really screw me over if I don't just be upfront about it. Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Some people like think he's like really dumb for doing that just because it's like, oh,
I think he's really smart for doing it.
Yeah, but yeah. I think that's actually really smart, and I think that obviously he's gonna learn from it, not do it again, but. At the very least, I think Blizzard looks good for handling it the way they did. Like, I think that they didn't overpunish him or underpunish him or anything like that. Like, I think they did what was appropriate since it was most likely just an honest mistake and just like an unfortunate situation.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So the last thing we wanted to talk about was the big news. After we spent an hour and some time talking about everything else. but we talked about at the beginning of the show, the nerfs have gone live. Giggling Inventor, Aviana, Mana Worm. Was that the only three? Was there one more? I think that's right.
No.
Just those three.
Yeah. All saw their nerfs. We talked about it earlier on how it affected the metagame, or it's affecting the metagame. Ray talked a little bit about what's working for him, what's not working. Danny, you talked about how Wild is a completely different game. Is there anything else you guys wanted to talk about on this subject?
Quest Rogues definitely not dead, but I didn't expect it to be dead. It's just much more balanced. Like, I think it's what Quest Rogue should be in a meta where it's not oppressive because it beats its counters. Like, it loses to what it should lose to, and it can still beat what it beats. And now it doesn't even beat those, like, nearly as badly anymore. Like, I think Druid actually has a pretty good shot against Quest Rogue, and Quest Rogue still just beat, it'll still just beat decks like Warrior and Big Mage and any type of, like, it still has infinite value with Zola. So I think it's just fair right now, and then it just has Sonya, which is obviously still, in my opinion, just way too broken, but Kel'Seth exists, so I can't really talk on Sonya when decks that go turn two Kel'Seth also just have the same, if not more, of an advantage from just that one card. So
I'm telling you, those three sets need to rotate out, or they just need to rotate the Evergreen set.
Do you guys think that the random tangent here, but Kel'Seth being like the best two drop in Standard, do you think that really affects aggro decks? I think that aggro shifted significantly from what it has been in the past because of Kel'Seth. And Blizzard hasn't been able to, I mean, they, like, the two drops, like, you're not playing any good ones. There aren't any really good, like, premier two drops right now. I mean, in Wild, we have a lot of really good ones like Totem Golem and Ruby and Egg and stuff. But I think that aggro has really fallen behind in these past couple of expansions, in Standard at least, because of Kaliseth. And I'm really interested to see what happens when he disappears, when things change up with him.
I think that if they don't print strong early game cards, then they're just taking the game in a different direction, which is something that they might actually want to be doing, which sounds really weird, but I don't think they like aggro being strong because games end so early. Or maybe they just feel like people have the sense of, oh, they had Flame Imp into Knife Juggler into whatever, and they just like killed me with just like turn three or four, the game was just over. So
yeah, but
I don't
it's
know.
Even worse when you play Flame Imp into Kaliseth into whatever.
Oh, so. Yeah. I'm saying, like, once the rotation happens, like, I don't know if they're going to print strong early game cards anymore. Like, I don't know if they're just going to let aggro fall by the wayside in exchange for more utility early game cards. Like, I don't know what it's called, but, like, the Treant card or, like, a Babbling Book type thing. Just, like, early game cards that just provide utility or, like, Loot Hoarder or something like that. Instead of, like, early game cards that have aggressive tendencies like Mana Worm, where it just snowballs. I just have a feeling they don't like cards that are just super strong early game. Like, I think the early game cards that they're going to print that are minions are going to be more utility-based. And that aggro, if they're just going to let it kind of die. Like, true, what we know as aggro right now.
I'm going to call it now at BlizzCon. They're going to announce the aggro set, where everything's a one or two drop and they're all super powerful. And they're going to say, and they're going to sit there, and Ray-C is going to be sitting there in the front. Ray's going to be sitting there in the front. And the new game director is just going to look at Ray and just be like, we're announcing the aggro set. And then he takes off his mask and it's Ben Brode, and he just starts laughing.
He's like, I heard your podcast. The aggro set.
Replacing the classic set.
Replacing the classic set.
Yep. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen at BlizzCon.
I saw you at PAX West. You thought you could get rid of me. What did you get? Oh my god, that reminds me of the South Park episode with like the Mark Zuckerberg clone.
Oh my god, yes, that's great.
Or just, I guess, just Elon Musk, where he laughs like that. He's like, ha ha ha.
Ha 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 ha.
Oh man. Yeah. That'd be so funny. But that's a statement you guys can make fun of me for when the new set gets announced. But I do think that they're going to try to go away from aggro as we know it today, and try to just print more utility based early game cards instead of aggressive.
I think that if anything, they're going to make early game cards that change up the game, so aggro isn't as linear as it was before. Like they printed the Shaman Elemental, the 2 mana 2/2, like you said, utility cards. But I feel that Blizzard likes doing a lot of the random effects, where it's like, oh, yeah, well, all of a sudden, like, this random card comes in your hand, and then you have to play the game a little bit differently because of that. Like, that seems to be what they're doing with a lot of their design philosophy.
Yeah. That's true. I don't know, man. I don't think I'll be happier if I'm losing games to random effects that happened on turn one or turn two, as opposed to, like, just straight up just getting Kaliseth on turn two and losing faster. I don't know.
Maybe they'll come out with a card that's a one drop that says if your opponent doesn't win in 6 turns, you win the game.
Can't we just go back to the good old days where we just like played Shield Bearer on one in Zoo, and then just had like board tension and a board attrition wars? Those were the days.
Yeah, Hearthstone's really come a far way from that.
Yeah,
like board like early game board attrition with like pseudo board clears available is like really fun for me. Where it's like, if you get too far, like, there's no Kaliseth back then. So it's not like if they get Kaliseth and you don't, you just lose. Like, if they get an aggressive start, you're behind, but you still have, like, ways to get out of it.
All right. Or the days where you get behind and it just snowballs and becomes worse, like Undertaker Hunter. Those were the days.
Undertaker Hunter, those were the days, dude. I loved Undertaker. That card was fun. F-U-N, fun.
That was probably one of the worst cards ever printed.
Most fun card ever printed.
The reason why I got nerfed.
The Patron Warrior days were the best, where you were just dead.
those days were all right. Like I like that, dude. Climbing from the gutters, climbing out of rank 2000 with either of those decks, perfect. Games are like 5 minutes long maximum.
Aggro Shaman, turn 4/7/7.
I actually really like mid-range Shaman. I thought mid-range Shaman meta, like where mid-range Shaman was just by far and away the best deck, was like one of the best metas. Like it was like mid-range Shaman, like actually.
Thunderbluff, Valiant and whatever.
Yes. That deck actually was super skill-based.
Yeah, I enjoyed that deck too. Like there are a lot of decks back then that I really enjoyed playing that I have to agree. There's like right now I'm having a tough time playing Hearthstone. And part of that's because I've been working a lot and I just haven't had time. BlizzCon's coming up. It's just, I bought a new house. I've just been very busy and I haven't been able to play any games, much less Hearthstone. But when I do get to play Hearthstone, like I find it really hard to enjoy right now. And it's because of the meta. It's because of the cards that we have. It's because I'm waiting a little bit for, I think I'm waiting for next spring, to be honest. I am excited for BlizzCon. I am excited to see what the next set is and get to play that. I'm just afraid that whatever they come out with, it's just going to be the same stuff that we play with, and it's going to take a set rotation to fix it.
I have a feeling that this set's going to be strong. I have a feeling that this is going to be like Mean Streets level.
I hope
so. They have to do something to change or to compete with a lot of what's going on with Artifact and all the new games coming in.
Or like you said, make an announcement like the Evergreen thing.
Yeah.
Like make some type of huge overall change.
When did they announce the split between Wild and Standard?
They did not announce that at BlizzCon. They announced it
That was like April.
Was that late in?
Yeah. They would have announced it like a month or so before the set to begin that year.
No, I actually remember it. They announced it at PAX East like two or three years ago now? I don't even remember, but I remember it was at PAX East because I remember when it came out, I was at dinner with like a bunch of Hearthstone people.
Yeah, and that was like a month or so before the first set of the year. So I'm hoping, maybe we don't hear anything until PAX East. Maybe that's what's going to happen. Who knows? But my point that I was going with is where Ray was talking about like mid-range Shaman and those old the old metas that we had before. If I was busy then, I still like, even though like I'm like, oh, Aggro Shaman, rah rah rah, and don't like it, or Undertaker Hunter, blah, or Patron Warrior, blah, I would still log into the game and still have fun, and because there are still decks that I enjoyed. And right now, there's just no decks that I enjoy.
I'm trying to make Bitcoin Mage, but it's just very mediocre. I'm trying. I can't beat Floop. How do I get rid of, like, they play Maligos, I polymorph it, and they have Floop. I can't get rid of it.
I mean, at the beginning of the show, I was even complaining about, like, Jade Druid, and I would still prefer to play Jade Druid right now. Over this.
Switch over to Wild. We have a ton of fun options.
But I want to play Standard, Danny. I want to play Standard.
That's where your first mistake is.
I know.
Playing Standard.
I know.
I can agree. I would have a lot more fun if I was a Wild player.
Maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe that is what I need to do. Maybe I just need to go join Danny and go play
Wild. Over the dark side.
What they really need, dude, they just need to announce like Wild just means something at all. Like, just Wild have any relevance, then I would play.
Because a lot of people, when they come back to, like, they'll play some of the classic decks. Like, Secret Paladin is not the best Paladin right now, but it's, like, maybe about 2 or 3 percentage points worse than the current best Paladin deck. Where it's, like, there's so many ways that you can build decks. That's one of the big drawing aspects that draw people to Wild, where it's, like, oh, I can build a Reno Lock deck, 30 different cards, and it's like, I can fit 60 different cards into this deck if I really want. I can play Nazoth. I can play like Leroy combo. I can do a bunch of really crazy, wacky stuff. And like, I really enjoy that. And then it's like, once you get to the point where it's like, okay, now I have to go and refine this to its strongest thing. There are just so many synergies and options. And then every set, you have to look back at all the previous things that came out. Like when Reno Priest became a thing, like Spawn of Shadows never saw any play except in like meme decks. And all of a sudden, it's the strongest card that you have in that deck.
All right, Danny. Here's homework that I'm going to give you is get me two or three good wild deck lists, send them to me, and I will play them the next couple weeks. And then I will report back on how I'm doing in wild, and we can sit up in our wild ivory towers together and throw peanuts at Ray.
Sounds like a plan.
Oh, man. Well, hopefully next week or whenever we do the podcast next, I'll have a bit more practice with this new meta, and maybe it will develop and people will like find innovations or something. But right now, it's pretty boring.
Not much has changed.
Yeah, it's making me fall asleep just talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, everything is kind of just meh. I don't know. Even Paladin's back, I guess. That's not cool at all, but, you know.
No, I think I'm going to switch to Wild, Danny. I think you've convinced me. I'm going to do it.
Woo! We've got one. Now we just got to get the rest of them.
We're taking over Hearthstone one player at a time.
No, I'm going to try it out. Play it at BlizzCon, see what happens. Report back when I get back. Anyway, I think we're done. I think that's it. Okay, did I hit the right one? I did not hit the right one. What am I doing? Okay,
go.
I got the right music that time. So let's see, what do we want to talk about real quick? Emails, we didn't have any new emails. Would love to hear from you. Just head over to, just send an email to wellmet@blizzpro.com, and we'll talk about it on the next show here pretty soon. In fact, I want to hear about stuff like, what do I want to hear about? I want ideas for the show that we can like coach you guys. So like if you send us like, you know, a board state or something like that, I would love to like dive into that with Ray and Danny and like what the play should be.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So I really want to do something like that. So send those screenshots in and that'd be cool. Patreon, if you want to become a patron, just head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. $25 will get you a coaching session with a co-host of your choice. And you'll go to help the show a long ways, be able to help us do things like go to BlizzCon, which we're totally going to be at here in a couple weeks. Well, not Danny, but Ray and I will be there.
You said that so sarcastically. Which we're totally going to be at. Not idiots.
Well, we are.
No, I know that. That's why I was like confused. I was like, no, I am going to be at BlizzCon.
I did not mean to say that sarcastically. So I didn't realize I was.
It's okay.
Nah, I'm just getting tired, I think, and goofy. So, but just head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. We didn't have any new iTunes reviews. If you want to leave one, head over to iTunes, type in Hearthstone, do a search for Hearthstone on the podcast. Oh my God, I can't talk right now. Go to iTunes, search for podcasts, type in Hearthstone. You'll see us there. Click on that, leave a 5-star review or any kind of review, and we'll read it on the show. Give us a 1-star review and we'll make fun of you. It'll be a good time. I think that's it. So shout outs on how can people get a hold of you. Danny.
Well, you can always find me on Twitter, DannyDonuts_HS. And this week I want to give a shout out to Django for being honest with his gambling thing. I feel that's pretty respectable.
I agree. Shout outs for you, Ray, and how can people get a hold of you?
Shout outs to everyone I'm going to meet at BlizzCon. I'm sure that it's going to be another great year. It's actually crazy. I think this is like my fourth or fifth year going to BlizzCon.
This is my 11th.
That's a lot. For me, though, it's just like, it doesn't feel like I've been a part of the Hearthstone community like as long as it actually has been. Like, this game has been out for 4 years, 5 years.
Yep.
That's like
a long time.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, and Hearthstone's almost old enough to drink.
What?
In dog years?
Okay. Magic, maybe, but... yeah, you can find me on Twitter at PG_RayC. And, yeah, on Twitch at twitch.tv/RayC591. I'm not going to be streaming, really, until I get back from BlizzCon and HCT, but go follow me on Twitter and I'll keep you updated on how I do at HCT, Orange County, and all the fun stuff going on at BlizzCon.
Cool.
Tweeting.
Yeah. As for me, I want to give a shout out to HS Deck Tech. He put out an interview with Just Saying at the HCT Fall Championships. And it's an excellent article over on Hearthstone.blizzpro.com. Go check it out. Go follow him on Twitter and give him a shout out because, it's a really good article, guys. Like, go read it.
I read it.
Yeah. And also, you can follow me over on Twitter at Aldorian. Thanks for joining us for episode 171 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at WellMetPodcast. Email us at WellMet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas you have for the show. Thanks again to Jake Butno for our amazing music. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week.